this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the president of the Institute of Biblical Defense and the pastor of Trinity Bible Fellowship. This is the Phil Fernandez Show. And before I get started, I'd just like to say that I've been in the doctor's and emergency room the last few days. So, and I just want to make a comment about that. I have an uncle, my Uncle Lenny, brilliant guy, just a sage, just a brilliant guy. And he gave me some words of wisdom. He told me that if you go to see a doctor, you know, and they're going to tell you something's wrong, you're not going to die from it. You're probably going to die with it, in most cases, 90% of the cases. So all you're really accomplishing by going to the doctors is making the doctors rich. So that's just something to think about, you know. I miss my Uncle Lenny. You know, he died at the age of 32 of a massive heart attack. So, but just some words of wisdom to share with you. Now, what I want to talk about is the Kalam cosmological argument. The Kalam cosmological argument. William Lane Craig has made this real famous in modern times. Saint Bonaventure, contemporary of Thomas Aquinas, was also big on this. And this argument goes as follows. Number one, whatever has a beginning needs a cause. Two, the universe had a beginning. And three, therefore, the universe had a cause. And we'll put a little bit of finishing touches on that. But let's take a look at that. Whatever has a beginning needs a cause. See, non-being cannot cause being. For something to cause something else, for something to cause anything, it has to first be actual. It has to actually exist. And so for something to have the potential to do something, the potential to cause, it has to actually first be actual. It has to actually exist. Non-being cannot cause being. Nothing is nothing. Nothing can do nothing. Therefore, nothing can cause nothing. So whatever has a beginning, something else had to cause it to come into existence. So whatever has a beginning needs a cause. And, you know, it can't cause its own existence, because then for a being to cause its own existence, it would have to pre-exist its own existence in order to bring its own existence about, and that's absurd. So whatever has a beginning needs a cause. Premise number two, the universe had a beginning. Now, Big Bang cosmology, I don't hold the Big Bang cosmology, but many Christian thinkers do, and virtually all atheists and agnostics hold to Big Bang cosmology. Big Bang cosmology tells us that the universe is expanding in all different directions as we move forward in time. So if we were to move backwards in time, the universe would get more and more dense until it would reach what scientists call a point of infinite density, or a point that takes up no dimensions in space. Well, if it's something physical and it takes up no dimensions in space, it takes up no space, it's not there, it's nothing. If it's a point of infinite density, something can only be finitely dense or finitely small. To be infinitely small or infinitely dense, again, means that it's not there. So the Big Bang, if it is true, which I would contest, but if it is true, if the Big Bang cosmology is correct, then the universe had a beginning. This is why Robert Jastrow, the former head of the NASA Institute of Space Studies, the Goddard Institute of Space Studies at NASA, one of the world's leading astrophysicists, he said that scientists, with Big Bang cosmology, they scaled the highest mountains of knowledge, and finally when they got to the top, they found a band of theologians waiting for them for centuries. The only problem with that is we've been there for millennia. But the Big Bang shows that there was a time when the universe did not exist, and then boom, it came into existence. Also, the second law of thermodynamics, energy deterioration, entropy, the amount of usable energy in a closed system is always running down. And atheists have to view the universe as a closed system, like there's no God or something outside the universe to keep it running. So, but basically, second law of thermodynamics says that the universe is running out of usable energy. Eventually, the universe will reach a state where all of the energy has been used up, and that would mark the end of the universe, which means if you move backwards in time, you'd reach a state where all the energy in the universe was in a useful state, and that would mark the beginning of the universe. So whether it's Big Bang cosmology or the second law of thermodynamics, everybody pretty much agrees now that the universe had a beginning. And this is very significant because in the 19th century, you know, the 1800s, atheists like Friedrich Nietzsche argued that the universe doesn't need a cause because it didn't have a beginning. Now, since the 1920s and Edwin Hubble and the knowledge of the expansion of the universe, now the argument is, okay, the universe did have a beginning, but it still doesn't need a cause. So right now the debate between atheists and Christians is, you know, the Christians are supposed to be stupid, supposed to have blind faith, because we believe that in the beginning a miracle-working God created the heavens and the earth, created the universe. But the atheists, on the other hand, are supposed to be so brilliant that they believe in the beginning nothing created the heavens and the earth. That doesn't make any sense. From nothing, nothing comes. So whatever had a beginning needs a cause. The universe had a beginning, therefore the universe had a cause. Now, the cause of the universe must be supernatural. Why is that? Well, because you run out of natural causes. When the entire universe, all of nature, when that has a beginning, that means that all of nature needs a cause. The cause, by definition, cannot be a natural cause. It must be a supernatural cause, a cause that transcends nature. And then point number five, the cause of the universe must be personal. Only personal choice can explain an eternal cause producing a temporal effect. This is why Benedict Spinoza, he believed that the universe was eternal and that God is a non-personal force, kind of like pantheism. And since God is not personal, a non-personal God, its effects would be automatic, would be necessary. And so throughout all eternity, an eternal cause, an eternal God, if it's a non-personal God, would have to necessarily actualize an eternal universe. But if you have a temporal universe, a universe that began, a universe that had a beginning, and the cause is eternal, the only way to explain it is the personal choice of the eternal cause to create. And so that's the Kalam cosmological argument. Whatever had a beginning needs a cause. The universe had a beginning, therefore the universe had a cause. And the cause of the universe must be supernatural, and the cause of the universe must be personal. So that's the Kalam cosmological argument for God's existence.